The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hey, everybody, welcome to my brother, man. Show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your babyest brother, Griffin McElroy. This is a genuine mabim bam prank. This is a genuine mabim bam prank that you're listening
to. Welcome
to
a mabim bam prank. It's our brother Travis.
It's not a fake prank. It's a genuine prank, and we're pranking genuine.
I wish we're pranking our brother Travis because he left the show to go get pizza. So
what's
the prank? I mean, it's not much of a prank.
Ha! Got Travis is back. Travis, we got you. We already started the show without you. That was a mabim bam prank. First of its kind.
But I was eating pizza.
The amount of show that you miss will be reflected in your monthly mabim bam paycheck. You're going to be docked for those minutes. You could have told several jokes in there.
Travis.
I wouldn't have, though.
Now that the prank is over, let's go behind the scenes. Travis didn't actually leave to go get pizza. That was just like a staging, very elaborate staging that we did. Because we wanted to introduce some new heat into the show. And Justin thought that this would be a good idea. I think it's a bad idea.
To be fair, I didn't think it was a good idea. The producers thought it would be a good idea. I kind of went along with them.
And they were just getting that feedback from all the focus groups and stuff that we did, who were like, well, there needs to be more pranks on the show.
Travis, confirm or deny, are you going to be eating pizza while we record our smash hit comedy podcast? Is that the level of respect to our readership for the written version of My Brother and Me that we release?
The wildly unpopular written version of My Brother
that we release on the deep webs.
I am just worried that if I wait till we're done recording, that's an hour of cool-off time for the pizza, and I think the people at home will understand that.
Well, I got a question, Dullard. Why did you order pizza when you knew the chuckle ship was pulling into port?
I just got home.
It's not... You knew that this... confluence of this pizza podcast crossover was unavoidable. You knew it.
You know what, Justin, I gotta be honest with you, it didn't sneak up on me, but I was very short-sighted. I thought that the two would not coincide as deeply as they have. I didn't realize there would be so much spillover into my professional life. So I feel like, you know, I have a lot to apologize for.
There's only one remedy, Travis.
I'm going to take some time off to rebuild my relationship with my family.
I hope you respect my privacy in this trying time. And the trying time should last about 4.5 minutes. That's about how long it's going to take me to crush this za.
Hey, Travis, I need you to stand up and throw that saw in the trash.
I cannot do that.
No, it's as a symbolic gesture to our readership to show that you still fucking, after 200,000 episodes, that you still fucking respect the hour. Travis, we're talking about 200,000 human hours that these people are pouring into the sieve of our podcast. Yeah. And you are aiming that sieve into a dumpster unless you symbolically stand up and throw that. You're eating the pizza right now, aren't you?
No, I'm throwing it into the garbage, like my tummy.
That is also what you call your stomach, though, so I don't think that counts.
I hate this pizza so much, I'm going to turn it into poop.
Take that, pizza.
Welcome to Pizza Break, our new podcast where we order a za and then you listen to us eat it for an hour.
It is hot and delicious too. This one is an Asiago crust, and I got it with like a white
fresh
crust
fresh from Sicily
and some chicken, and it was supposed to have spinach on it, and they didn't do that. I didn't really want it.
The rolling verdant hills of Sicily. Travis had this fresh artisanal za coptered in.
Our listeners have spent 1,826 years listening to our
podcast. Just math that out?
Not an exaggeration. Cumulatively, nearly a millennia of pleasure. Nearly two millennia.
All leading up to this moment.
Of pleasure.
When I could eat pizza in their ears. Is that somebody's ASMR trigger?
Oh, it's gotta be. God knows it's not mine, though.
I hope it's not Thin Crust.
It's my SAD trigger, because it makes me very sad.
All right, I'll take a break from pizza. I'll save it for the money zone.
Perfect. Sounds good. You always phone that in anyway. Yep. So listen, this is, as you've almost certainly guessed, this is a comedy advice podcast where we, that's Travis, by the way, he's our middle brother. We take questions from you, the listening public, and the readers that we apparently have, and we turn them alchemy-like into wisdom. So now let us away.
Hold on. I gotta let the cat in. Sorry. Don't prank me, though, while I'm gone.
This is a my brother, me prank. Prank day two. Griffin is left to go bring his cat in, and now Travis and I are taking over the show.
What are we going to do? How do these pranks work? I missed the first one.
You put a whoopee cushion on his chair.
Okay. But he's in Austin.
Call somebody. Okay, get on Craigslist for Austin.
Uh-huh.
Get on Austin Craigslist.
If anybody in Austin is listening to this show, go put a whoopee cushion on Griffin's chair.
I got him in. Wait a minute. Wait, let me just sit down in my chair. Blart. This is one of those special Paul Blart themed whoopee cushions. Let's start this podcast.
Over? That would be the end.
Welcome to My Brother and Me, episode one.
In my neighborhood, outskirts of Pittsburgh, a lot of people own dogs, but must not pick up after them because there are turds everywhere. Once I even saw an owner let their dog drop a hot one and then just continue on their way. I did not know what to say, and I was scared of confronting them. Is there a good way to confront someone if I catch them in the lack of act again? That's from Dodging Doo-Doo in Pittsburgh.
I once saw somebody do that. Like, their dog just pooped in the middle of the sidewalk, and they kept walking.
Do you guys remember, a decade ago, when every other time you left your house, you stepped in shit? Like, every before we came to our senses, and we're like, We should really be cleaning this. It should be a law or something that we just handle it. And back when we didn't handle it, literally 50% of the time you cross the threshold of your house. So your first step out of the house was in shit because it was Golgotha out there. Was that the place? Mm-hmm. God knows that I'm awesome at biblical trivia.
We've proven this time. And time again.
You've proven that going to all those biblical trivia nights at your local pub.
That's true. But
or the time you insisted that Abraham was the father of Cain and Abel.
I did my best. I did my very best.
Judging by Obama's recently released Midnight Amendments, this is definitely in violation of, come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, this is definitely, this is anti-come on. This is come off.
I would say this.
I have to.
This might be a triple threat. This might be a triple threat. I think it might. It might
it's
break
not
off
nice.
And it's super not be cool.
Yeah.
I would say it's in violation of the first two, but I gotta admit, if I saw that happening and I was definitely not gonna be in the path of the poo-poo, there might be a part of me that was kind of nice.
Only feel that way when I see a big old bulldog taking a crap. And that's really? Hilarious.
You see a bulldog taking a crap, and then about 20 to 25 paces behind that, you see a big Wall Street broker and a big fancy suit walk, and you're like, ooh, this is going to be yummy.
He's going to get it on his wingtips.
Oh, yeah, shitty wingtips. Come on.
But what you don't know is that he is a broker, but he invests his money so that he can give more to the charities he supports.
And he yells at him. He steps in shit. How can this happen to me? I'm a charitable stockbroker man.
You're with that 1% just stepped in 99% of that dog. Okay.
Why not 100%?
Because he avoided a microbe of it. Because he's got his wingtip, so it doesn't have toe space that normally would have crushed the rest.
I completely get where the question asker is coming from, because this is one of those you would be hypothetically within your rights to say hey, pick up your dog shit. But at the same time, it's their only response to that is going to be, hey, fuck you, and keep walking.
I mean, really, you can't be I think that you are perfectly within your rights if it's if it's your lawn or maybe the lawn of a charitable organization or something. But
my dog only shits in the Ronald McDonald House lawn. I don't understand why.
I don't know what it is. It's a highly laxative effect that clown has on him. I you can't go around being earth police. People are going to do that, and maybe you you know, you yell at this person, you make them feel bad, they don't do it, they go around the corner, they'll do it somewhere else. That's how these criminals operate.
Because if you really cared...
Read a Malcolm Gladwell book.
That's true. If you care deeply about it, you could always just, like, carry some bags around with yourself and, like,
when your dog
finished shitting, you just, like, stoop right down and pick it up while looking at them and be like, no, I got it. And
make them feel real bad
about it.
No problem.
You have the fun part with the dog where you, like, play fetch and run around with him, and I'll just pick up the shit for the dog that I have 0% interest in.
It's just like Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world, but be, like, kind of shitty and passive-aggressive about
it
while you do it.
Travis, could you follow him after you clean up the first shit? Can you just follow him, like, bag wrapped around your hand, just waiting?
I just want to be here in case. Just in case. I got your back. I'm your support team in this. We're going to do this together. We'll tag team.
Could we swing by Whole Foods?
I'm sympathetic to the dog owner in this situation because 100% of the time I leave the house to buy groceries, just like one or two things. I always forget my bag. Austin has a plastic bag ban. I don't know if that's popping LA off in LA and Huntington yet. And I never have a bag, and I always have to buy a new bag. But you can't buy a shit bag when you're walking your dog on the street and you forgot your shitty bag. And, like, what do you do in that situation? I'm not going to touch it with my hands because I'm a fucking human being trying to just, like, live my life in the world.
Can you still get plastic garbage bags?
Yeah, for your trash can, sure.
Can you just carry one of those around with you, like some sort of deranged Santa Claus?
Can you imagine if you saw, like, a tiny little chihuahua finish shitting and the person pulled out, like, just a giant trash bag, put it over, like, their whole body to pick it up and, like, no, I got it, and then tied it off and just carried it with you? That's a fucking funny image right there, you guys. Train another dog to pick up that dog's poop. That's
what if
solid.
You just got horrified by it and stamped on it as soon as it came out, like you thought it was alive.
When your dog shits on a lawn, just cordon off the lawn with police tape.
Yeah,
nothing to see here. Move along.
You want folks with a little chalk outline?
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes. Please.
This Yahoo was sent in by level 862. Shaman, Drew Davenport. And yes, he leveled up this week because he fucking crushed it this week. Thank you, Drew Davenport. This might be an all Drew episode, spoilers. It's by Yahoo Answers user James, who asks, when a caterpillar is making a cocoon, does it know it's going to become a butterfly? Or is it just like, what the fuck am I doing with my life?
Okay, wait, I'm confused by the question.
What am I even doing right now?
Do they mean while it's making the cocoon, is it going, what the fuck is happening? Or do they mean like the caterpillar's going, I got nothing to do. I'm just going to stay inside my weird shell thing.
But see, that's the thing. It's never made a weird shell thing, right? They just do that the one time, right? They can't switch between butterflies and caterpillars at will. They're not fucking like lycanthropes. They just do it the one time, so they're just like up in a tree, and then all of a sudden, like they, I imagine it is somewhat similar to the first time that you discover ejaculate, and then that starts happening, and then all of a sudden you're in it, and you're like, wait a minute, what am I even doing right now? What is this?
It's all over me.
It's all over. Why did I do this?
It's got to be confusing as shit to be a caterpillar and be like, I was supposed to hang out with Steve today. I went over to his place and there was just like a weird hangy shell thing.
Yeah. I don't understand that. Wait, what am I doing with my butt right now? What am I doing with my butt? What does this mean?
Dad?
Dad?
It's got to be
flat, 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 flat.
Flat, yeah, flat, flat.
It's got
to
be.
If you're a dad butterfly, you've got to be like, I don't know, never happened to me.
I'm born looking like this.
Whoa, you must be like crazy. Super sick or something. I've never seen.
We got to get to the bug doctor.
Or just say like, I'll see you in 6 years. I've got to be in this thing for 6 years? Yeah, you'll probably die in there. Goodbye.
That shit's got to be crazy.
Wouldn't it be great, like, just the very idea of that, like, if human beings for the first, like, 30 years looked one way, and then went to sleep for, like, 2 years, and they woke up, and they were, like, birds, and everybody was just like, yeah, that's normal, that's just how, you do.
But we have the internet, right? Like, as soon as a silken thread emerges from the tip of my penis, I can very quickly be like, Siri, web's coming out of my penis, what does it mean? She's like, chill, Griffin. Chill, boss hog, because that's what I told Siri to call me. Chill, boss hog. It's going to be cool. You're cocooning, and pretty soon you're going to come out, and this is what you're going to look like, and I'm going to go, awesome. Calipari's going, got Siri? They don't. They just get up in a tree, silken thread, and that's got to be so scary.
Is it possible we're giving the caterpillars too much credit? That maybe, like, it starts coming out, and they just go, okay, I'm down. All right. Whatever, fuck it.
I guess this is my day now.
Sure. Caterpillars, really the most easygoing insect.
I'm apparently the Matthew McConaughey of bugs.
Yeah, cool. Whatever.
All right.
You know, yesterday I tried an oak leaf for the first time. Today I'm going to be trapped in a weird thing that came out of my butt. Sure, whatever.
I listened to fusion jazz for the first time.
I tried Cuban food.
I did not hate
spicy,
it.
Very spicy, but I liked
very
it.
Very spicy.
I did not hate it. Mm.
So I'm down for the adventure. You know what I mean? Let's just see what happens.
Do you think, I've never seen a butterfly come out of a cocoon. Actually, you know what? I think I have seen a video of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon and they fly away. How the fuck does that happen? Explain that to me, science, because it's not like you get wrapped up in a cocoon, silk comes out of your butt, you're wrapped up in a cocoon, and then when the silk is done coming out of your butt, a caterpillar book comes out of your butt that says how to fly.
You want it to be more like Greatest American Hero, like without the manual, they're just flying around, slamming into trees.
Or just fall, they just fall.
Don't you think statistically there has to have like at least once that a caterpillar went into a cocoon and then the cocoon opened up and he was still a caterpillar and he was just like, ah, damn it.
Must be such a bummer when find out you're a butterfly, you're flying around, that's great. And then you're like, so what do I eat now? It turns out it still leaves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm almost certain it's like a juice of some sort, the juice of the flower.
I don't know, they eat like pollen and dung and tree sap and rotting fruit.
And human beings.
Other butterflies. We don't know anything about bugs or anything, I guess.
Even bugologists are like, butterflies, man, they're crazy.
They're crazy.
I bet there's an entomologist listening to our show, got like really excited and then really sad.
I've been waiting for this butterfly moment this whole time. I thought they were close.
They talk about something I care about.
They had that one episode where they talked about the Ashton Kutcher film, Butterfly Effect, and I thought that was going to be my moment, but very little of that discussion was based on the physiology of butterflies. Here we go. Time to buck up. Oh, I'm dead now.
I have a new feature for the show.
Okay.
I have a new feature I'm bringing to the show. This is a haunted doll watch.
Justin texted us at 2 in the morning with this idea that he was so psyched about.
I was so psyched about Haunted Doll Watch. This is my feature that everybody can hate. Haunted Doll Watch. Boop, 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 boop. Live for eBay. Just to set this up for you guys, I have a little bit of information about haunted dolls. This is from Miss Lady on eBay. In an article titled, What to Expect from Your Haunted Doll. Hello, this is Miss Lady. Yes, I am a collector of paranormal items. Dolls in particular.
Oh, Christ.
I guess a part of me buys the items for curiosity to see what will happen. Also to hope that there would be some particular activity to convince non-believers in my household that these things exist. For whatever the reason to buy these items, there are some things to consider. I've purchased a few dolls. And notice that these items, some things do occur. First, I used to buy my items from individuals who would sell many other haunted items. From most of these, I've noticed no paranormal activity.
Well, yeah, because I've encountered exactly zero haunted items in my lifetime. There aren't people that just naturally come across 300 that they sell on bulk on Amazon Prime.
Be wary of the seller who has hundreds of haunted items. Let's be real. Who can actually acquire all these things?
Fuck me. Does that really say that in the next sentence?
Literally the next...
The fucking singularity has occurred.
I hate to say it. You could purchase a doll and the item wasn't really haunted. Just the item next to it was.
Wait, what? Whoa.
So, okay, you get a doll, right? You think you have a haunted doll? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that, like, the desk it was on was haunted the whole time.
The house was haunted. Ugh.
Damn it.
It's way this mess. Or, I hate to say it, you purchase the item that is haunted and the spirit eventually leaves. Yes, it has happened to me.
Wait,
I don't know if
Why does she why does she hate to say it? Like, I hate to say it. Sometimes the spirit leaves.
But my whole life is so shitty that a ghost in a doll pops into my house and is like, this place sucks. Bye.
Oh, Justin, my favorite line in it. I like antique dolls because there are more chances of it having actually acquired that energy because it is so old.
That's true.
because it bumped up against so many ghosts, I guess.
Well, no, a new doll. You go to the Build-A-Bear workshop. That is a 100% no haunting guarantee. I would say if you don't want to get a haunted toy for your child, Build-A-Bear workshop is the only game in town where you will get that 100% guarantee, because you see the manufacturing process from start to finish. There are no ghosts. You pick the color, you pick the felt, you pick the stuffing, you stuff it.
It does
no ghosts.
Depend on whether you put a toy heart or a human heart in it.
No, don't do the second one. And the box that says haunted, do you want this one haunted? We can shoot it with a ghost ray. You check no on that, and you know for sure. But an old doll, who knows? It's Jumanji, baby.
Also, don't check the box that says, do you want this doll to become life-size when you're not around and take your kid on adventures? Don't do it. It seems like a good idea.
Seems like fun, but no. They're gonna teach him about drugs. Justin, I demand you buy a haunted doll, and I demand that you start reviewing haunted dolls on YouTube.
Haunted doll. I have one haunted doll to talk to you guys about this week. This week's haunted doll in Haunted Doll Watch is listed under Haunted Spirits Doll Caution on EMF Meter, Paranormal, Magic, Wiccan, Pagan. I'm looking at a picture of a doll.
The touchstones.
With an EMF meter next to it that says caution. Now, it's not danger, this creepy porcelain doll, but it is caution
on
the EMF meter.
A spirit,
which of course, measures spirit energy.
There's a spirit inside, but it may not try to kill your kids, is what you're saying.
It may be cool.
I have there just in the description here to talk about this particular spirit doll. Apparently, this question asker is getting a lot of flack about having a doll that was a caution on the EMF meter. And this particular haunted doll owner writes, I've been asked about spirit dolls that are listed as danger. Madame Christine never, underlined, adopted a spirit that was demonic. She would never expose her other spirit vessels to that. She had a way of knowing if there were trouble, and she would not bring them into her home. All of the dolls, etc., that are sold by me are of the white light, and they will never hurt a living soul.
Wow.
Wait.
They get along with other spirit children, and if they are labeled danger by Madame Christine's notes, that is because they were little troublemakers of some sort, or downright brats. Most of her spirit dolls are safe, but there are a few that were considered caution or danger, but not dangerous.
So these are like your super chill, like totally lax, like haunted doll. Not like your Chucky's. These aren't like serial killer. These are the ones that like maybe they just are gonna like hang out with you and say like witty things, I guess.
Yes, as long as you're of the white light, this child is gonna get along with you just fine. And you could buy it now for $125.
What?
Or make a bid at $55, you would be the first.
Okay.
What scenario could there be a haunted doll that is not scary?
If my Admiral Akbar action figure
got, only if he's haunted by Admiral Akbar.
If my Admiral Akbar action figure got haunted by anything, I would find it amusing, not scary. I would actually love that.
You could buy a haunted clown doll right now.
I can.
No problem.
But I won't.
You could buy a haunted clown doll right now for $29.
I don't.
Looks like a sad clown. Evil.
That is
it
a
says.
Steal, by which I mean they are stealing your money.
Okay, one super quick. I'm almost done here. Last doll on Haunted Doll Watch this week. Evil Possessed Haunted Demonic Clown Doll Vessel, $29. Buy it now.
12 people are watching it. They're keeping Evil. Their finger on the pulse. And they're like, if this thing doesn't go above 50, I am taking it.
Evil. Pure evil.
Let me ask.
The spirit vessel used to be friendly with an Eeyore the donkey-like personality. But one say something changed. I believe a demonic entity killed or overpowered the old spirit took it hostage and now dominates the vessel. I'm too afraid to keep it in the house anymore. The evil spirit told me his name is Ernie. I'm not convinced that it's his true name.
How?
I'm not buying it. It's his name to plume.
He says he's Ernie. Maybe it's Ernesto or something.
He says he's Ernie Hudson, but I don't believe him.
I have terrible nightmares of him coming at me with an axe, and it's all Ernie's doing.
So buy it. Do you want this?
Do you want this? It's $29.
It's $20. I'll take $30.
Buyer, beware. It is looking for a soul. You can attempt to ask the spirit questions and desires or wishes by writing a message and putting it in the cavity of the missing foot. It will answer you. Beware. It will want something in return.
What is going on?
And there are 12 people in the world that saw this and said, I'm going to keep an eye on this.
Yeah, listing. Can't let that one slip away.
Can't let this evil doll slip away.
Oh, Jesus, please.
That's been our haunted doll.
And you can buy it now if you want to just skip.
Just buy it now. You don't need to watch it. Just buy it now.
Justin, you want to read a question? Now that you've spooked, I'm spooked out right now.
Don't be spooked. My boyfriend doesn't eat cheese. Not even on his pizza. He is not lactose intolerant or allergic. He just doesn't eat it. Needless to say, mealtime in our household can be quite difficult. How do I get him in the embrace of the wonderful food that is cheese? That's from Cheese Please in Pittsburgh again. Two Pittsburghians.
So, the one thing you don't say, like, I think the idea of cheese is gross, or is it like, I don't like the taste of cheese? I don't like, what is it that's driving this dude away from cheese?
I can sympathize here because I'm very weird about cheese. I don't eat uncooked cheese. I can't eat raw cheese.
Wait,
the fuck? What?
You mean like
non-melted cheese is the only, cheese has two states, melted and not melted, or
that's
milk.
That's what I mean. Not cooked
cheese is milk.
No, I mean, I can't eat unmelted cheese.
What a weird hang-up that you have,
it
Justin.
It yucks me out. I like it melty and stringy and cheesy, but when I bite into, like, when people eat cheese cubes like that, I just want to yarts all over.
What goes through your head when you see just, like, a slice of cheese on a plate?
I'd like to drink that. It's what goes through his head. I want that, but more drinkable.
If only it was less al dente.
Oh.
Yeah, it's too al dente. I don't know. It's just something about the texture of unmelted cheese that just grosses me out. I can't get down with it. And if he feels that way about universal cheese, I am sympathized. I can't sit here and throw shade.
Is it maybe something where Sydney needs to, like, hide some in, like, pieces of bread until you get used to the idea of it? Maybe put some in, like, applesauce for you?
Why is it so cold and not melted? That's my thing about it.
Because
so.
It's cheese,
it's
Justin.
It's cheese, Justin. This is what I'll say. Maybe you just let your boyfriend listen to my plight, because I am, like, lactose intolerant. I eat cheese and, like, that's my night. I plan my nights around, like, I want to get my cheese on, but that means I'm going to be sleeping.
Definitely clear my schedule.
But I'm sleeping in the guest bedroom tonight. I talked about this with my friends last night, and they laughed at me, but I thought it was actually a pretty clever piece of, just a real stroke of genius, a real master stroke, where if I do eat something, like my wife's delicious turkey chili, and, like, I know that I'm going to have just farts all night, then I'll sleep in the guest bedroom. I'll just sleep in the guest bedroom, and that way I don't keep her up. I don't have to worry about the things that I do. It's like my little chamber of secrets.
When I still try to keep that mystery alive after some 10 years of being together. When I accidentally toot in front of my wife, I just kind of freeze like a wild animal who's been caught in
hell. Oh, yeah, no, I get that.
And hope that she didn't notice, or more accurately, isn't going to draw attention to it.
That's what I do when my wife accidentally sees me eating anything. I stop mid-bite until she looks away. She must not know. The information of what I look like when I eat must be kept from her, because I want her to continue to love me and be attracted
to
me.
And you do it so quickly. You really need, like, one of those high-speed cameras to capture Travis actually eating anything.
Exactly.
What I'm saying, though, is that when I eat cheese, I'm making a tremendous personal sacrifice to get that good, good cheese taste in my mouth. And the fact that your boyfriend doesn't have my dietary weakness and still chooses to squander the gift that God gave him of a normal stomach, it makes me sick. It makes me as sick as a healthy hunk of Gouda would. You sicken me, sir.
One good way would be to, like, make a soup, you know? Like a soup with some shredded cheese in it, and then mix it all up. She's in it.
I don't even know. Justin, I don't think that she just needs to trick him. Like she needs to get him to take a bite of cheese, and then from that point on, he must always eat cheese. Yeah, I think that's a matter of, like, she wants to just eat cheese.
But maybe if you did it that way, it's like you ease him into the cheese. Like, you just had secret cheese. Now maybe it's time for you to come out of the cold.
I will say there is something to that, because for a long time Teresa wouldn't eat eggs. So it's like, oh, eggs are disgusting. I do not like eggs. And then I just kept making them for breakfast, like for myself. And eventually she was like running late. She was like, okay, let me, you know, make me an egg. And now like we eat eggs all the time. Like she just kind of like became inoculated to the things she did not like.
That was a really good story.
Thank you.
I like the part in the middle.
Where she started to like eggs again.
The rising action. She says no. It stops here.
Let's go to learn something. Brothers, guess what's on my balls? Travis, you first. Guess what's on my balls?
Man, I hope it's underpants.
It's underpants.
Thank God.
What kind? Griffin for 3 bonus points. What's on my balls?
More like boners points.
Okay, thank you, Travis. You've been eliminated from the game. Fair Griffin, enough. What's on my balls?
Can I be eliminated from the podcast? Can I go be on a different podcast for a while?
Well, you're both out of time, unfortunately. The answer was MeUndies.
I just need a break.
An official sponsor from my brother, me, that is on my balls, but also my butt.
I need some space, and I want you to respect this space that I've requested.
Like the space between your balls and butt that MeUndies is also
Don't on. Call me. I will call you when I tell you that I'm ready to jump back in.
MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you will ever wear. I thought that was a line until I started wearing them, and now I can't wear anything else, and I don't have enough pairs for that to be hygienic, but I keep on keeping on because I'm a man of principle.
This is a grungy episode so far. Grungiest episode yet.
It's a little raunchy, I think. They're really, really comfortable. My wife, Sydney, just got, because they're advertising on Subbins as well, our medical history podcast, she has tried the ladies' underwear too. She was crazy about them. They're insanely comfortable. They're environmentally friendly too. They use sustainable materials from the Austrian Alps, no less, which uses a CO2 neutral process with a low carbon footprint. They are a great deal too for the quality. This kind of quality would normally cost you twice as much as MeUndies, but there's no retail middleman. They go directly from the underwear makers to your butt.
I've seen some people ask, "Is it? Yes, it's more expensive than a 90 pack of underpants that you buy at like fucking Costco. Yeah, it's gonna cost you more. But listen, it's 2015, it's 2015, and it's time for you to invest in the things that really matter. And
sometimes you think about something that's more expensive and you don't see the increase, like the quality increase. This you do, hands down. I would pay twice as much as I
do. When my MeUndies are at the top of the underwear stack, I get a little bit excited. I get kind of peppy. I'm like, this is going to be a good day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be riding in style. So you can get these even cheaper, though, than they normally are.
Steal them from Justin.
Steal them from me. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, and you're going to get 20% off your first order. And also free shipping. 20% off. They're guaranteed you're going to like them, or your first pair is free. Put them on your butt. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. Guys, before we move on to the next sponsor, will this be the time that we get our first advertiser complaint? Will this be? I feel like we keep pushing it, and we haven't hit that wall yet. We've never had an advertiser.
Think I want you to know, Justin, second, all I can picture home. Is as we're doing it, there's like a MeUndies executive behind the glass in our recording booth, and he's got like a cigar bit down in his teeth, and he's just thumbs up. Like, and
thumbs up. Ah, yeah, put them on your balls. Yeah, I love it. The balls talk. I love the balls. Boys, keep talking about your balls. It's golden. It's golden. That's good radio, baby. Balls stuff.
Brand we're proud to be associated.
You're getting
with.
This, right? You're getting this.
You're getting. I don't lose you're rolling, right? This is not just. You're not just checking the testicle levels out, are you? They're talking about their balls, and you're missing it, Henry. You're missing it.
This is art.
You're leaving money art. On the table. They're talking about their gooch.
Oh, the one said something about boners.
This is primo stuff.
He just gets his wallet out and starts throwing hundreds at
Can
us.
Can we turn this into an audio billboard? Is that a thing? Can we invent those for this moment?
It's just this man standing on a billboard yelling, "Guys, they're talking about their gooch!"
You're missing it.
Somebody give me an ice cream van without speakers. I'm going to play this through the speakers and drive around town.
This week, MeUndies is sponsored by my brother and me. You got to listen to this podcast.
They're geniuses, these guys. Did you get to the boners bit? Yes, Dad. Yes, we listened to it. Did you, but when he says the boners, yeah.
Stephen M. Undies, get in here and listen to this episode right now, Dad.
That's MeUndies.com/my brother.
We have another spot, and we're going to take this one. We're going to be very serious about it. Because you know why? Cooking and eating is serious business. Because if you do it wrong, you could burn your house down, or you could eat something yucky. Sure. If you fuck up this process, you could be in dire straits, my friends.
But that is not going to happen with our next sponsor, Blue Apron. I'm going to just go off the reservation here, tell you guys about Blue Apron, because I got a box of Blue Apron this week, and it came with three different meals. This is a service where they're going to send the components of three recipes, in addition to the actual recipe card that tells you how to make the thing. And it comes with everything you need to actually cook it. It's all in the box. The meat is refrigerated. It's all, like, reasonably healthy stuff. I got three meals this week. I got a sort of a Mexican casserole, a pistachio crusted catfish, and a sort of chicken coconut milk stew.
Damn.
All three of which were absolutely delicious. And it's like cooking, but without all the really boring stuff.
And here's the thing, like Teresa and I received the same stuff. For $9.99 a meal, right? You get these meals. Like the Mexican casserole has lasted for like a week. Like it's so much food for $9.99. Like for that price, it's a ridiculous, and it's all so good and like hearty and filling. It's wonderful.
And relatively low calories. So 500 to 700 calories per serving for like dinner. That ain't bad.
And brought right to your door. Like you don't have to, you know, when you want to make a meal and you have to like hunt through the supermarket to find all the different ingredients, and like sometimes you just need like a teaspoon of salt and you got to buy a whole thing. Like, no, this takes out all of that shit. Comes right to your door and it's everything you need.
I'm trying to eat healthier in the new year, and a big hiccup for that is ordering food or eating out, because you're always going to eat a lot more calories than you think when you're eating out. And this just takes off the hardest part, which is when do I find time to go to the store to buy the ingredients and everything. This, it's all done for you. You just get to do the fun part, which is cooking it and also eating it.
And right now, if you go to blueapron.com/my brother, you'll get two free meals. Like, that's an amazing deal. Like, two free meals. Why aren't you already doing this and checking it out?
Yeah, check it out. Send us pictures of what you cook so I can get hungry and eat it and come to your house and steal your food. That's blueapron.com/my brother. blueapron.com/my brother.
I have a message for Mr. Dan Bailey Yavandit. You guys think I crushed that last name?
Yes, I do.
I think you did.
Mr. Dan Bailey Yavandit or Yavandite?
Second time wasn't as good.
And it's from Frank and Kitty, who says, "Hey, DBY, thank you, Frank and Kitty, for that kindness. Hey, DBY, remember that time you and I repeatedly tripped that feeble-minded blue dragon until it died? It was like a D&D schoolboy. Happy birthday."
All right.
Is this a drugs thing?
Is this a drugs thing?
I'm tripping on that feeble-minded blue dragon. That could be like a strain of Kush. Like, they get pretty clever with those names. Maybe it's like
ropey vapor.
It's a ropey blue strain, and we're gonna call it feeble-minded blue dragon. Smoke it.
Happy birthday.
Smoke it, toke it, roll it up and poke it, baby.
Hey, roll it up and what now?
Roll it up and poke it. This is a primo strain. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, DBY.
Happy
primo message is for Pat. Did I use that correctly?
Uh-huh.
And it's from the primo Alex. Yeah.
Are you making fun of me?
No, not at all. Happy 2-year anniversary to my ruggedly handsome, super duper strong, incredibly intelligent boyfriend, Pat. You are the only person who makes me laugh more than the McRoy brothers.
I don't like that.
What the fuck?
And that is how I know I love you. I hope this embarrasses you just the right amount. Love, Alex. Not too much, not too little, just the right amount.
Just the right amount. I feel...
You really have to get on our show and throw around your money to insult us?
I would like to see Pat come here and talk about butts and boners and taints and pizza.
Hey, Pat, why don't you come into our house and talk that shit?
Pat, you bringing the heat? Because we'll step. We'll step. We'll go outside and we'll make jokes at each other until one of us falls down.
I hope the next episode has a sponsored message where somebody just sends us a list of people that they think are funnier than we are.
Like, I hope the next episode is you guys and Pat, and I'm out.
This message is from Jake, and it was sent in by David, and it says, all the Wayans brothers.
That's it?
That's it. They're the only... And fucking Pat, apparently.
Mr. Joke Time Pat.
But if it's Pat and Oswald, then yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
Happy anniversary. Or Patrick Duffy?
Patrick Duffy? There's a lot of Patrick's funnier than us.
A lot of Patrick's funnier than us. Oh, well. Win some, you lose some. Happy anniversary, Alex and Pat.
Hey, this is Pop Rocket. We're your source for all pop culture information.
It's an intellectual and incredibly snark-filled discussion about pop culture by five cranky Hollywood 30-somethings. No name-calling, no rudeness, just straight talk and a lot of role-play.
I'm only 30-something for another year.
Me too. And I don't tell anybody I'm 30-something.
Pop Rocket comes out every week from MaximumFun.org.
Do you guys want a Yahoo?
Yes, I guess I do. Sorry.
This Yahoo was sent in by Drew Davenport. The best around. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user. They got suspended. They did a bad word. When they existed, when they lived, and let's honor their memory by talking about their question and answering it, providing them some relief. They asked, poll, who is the sexiest green guy? Because I am bored. Check this fucking dope answer out. And this is their own answer. Enzo Matrix from Reboot for me. Size hunky. You? Open to men as well. Well, wait. Yeah. You can't. All right, just try and fucking bar me from this conversation.
They have to mean the adult Enzo, right? Not like little kid. This is Enzo when he goes off into the...
Oh, yeah, when he gets lost in the internet and he comes back and he looks fucking awesome. He looks like Solid Snake, but green and fucking hunky as fuck.
The first person that getting lost in the internet has ever helped, ever.
Yeah.
He got lost in the internet and got real fit.
I think he lost an eye, though, which is like, yeah, that'll happen.
I think he did, and now I'm really mad at myself because I could not remember what the main dude in Reboot was named.
I think his name was Jeff Reboot. Jeff Reboot.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Reboot.
Well, time for a Google break. Bob.
Of course.
Bob.
That's a fucking good answer. It is very rare that game recognized game on Yahoo Answers. But game recognized, I wish I knew this person's name. I wish they had not been suspended.
What about Roger Klotz?
That's pretty good. Because there was
He's a bad boy, but you could tell he had a good heart.
And a fucking smoking body.
Mm-hmm.
In the later years, there was like a Doug, the new class. Mm-hmm. But it was the same class. They were just older. So kind of a dumb name for the show. But Klotz is looking good. He was doing lots of fucking reps at the gym, and his body looked really good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other green people.
Shrek. I know it's not everybody's style, but, like, he's really funny. Like, he's made me laugh a lot harder than... put him on the list above, I think, even the
but
way...
But not a top-notch butt.
No, the butt's not great. It's just because it's not rendered especially well. Great work, DreamWorks. But I will say that the stink would be bad because he's a swamp monster.
What is the Jolly Green Giant out? Like, maybe if you're into Vore, it's a pretty sweet way to go.
What are you fucking talking about? Start over.
The Jolly Green Giant.
I got that part. I heard the name, Travis.
Is he out?
How does he Vore anybody? He doesn't walk around
because
fucking.
He's giant. He's giant and he eats people for eating his children.
You understand.
Ho, ho, ho. You ate my children. Now I'll eat you.
That's not what he does.
I think I remember that commercial, Griffin.
Also, if you knew anything about Vore, if you ever fucking, I listen to Bunker Buddies all the time. You've never listened to a single fucking episode of Big Gulp, or else you'd understand.
I can't find it.
Or else you'd understand. I've sent you the fucking deep web links. You would understand that when a giant swallows something, like a giant, like Gulliver's Travels swallows like a person, it's not good Vore because you don't get like squished down in there. It needs to be like a little bit bigger than a human swallowing a human, and they get like bulked up and you can see the fucking impressions of their body inside the body. You don't know fucking
anything. I don't
want to
talk about Vore anymore. What? Repeat the question. Let's take it back to the beginning because I want a concrete answer.
Poll. Who's the sexiest green guy?
Are there answers? Are there any
Yeah, the
answers?
Jolly Green Giant is on here, but apparently you struck him from the list because he walks around fucking murdering people by swallowing them and dissolving them in his giant green stomach acid.
He's too big. I can't imagine making love to him, for he is far too large.
Can I hit you guys with this? Yeah. How does Gumby grab you?
Gumby's, ooh. Yeah. Because you can do whatever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's a solid answer. I put him in top five.
His body's not, like, great. It's a little bit better than Shrek, I guess. But you could mold some six-pack onto him.
That's what I'm saying. Or just carve it in. He's just like rubber.
I don't think he'd love that. The Incredible Hulk is on the list.
He got anger issues. He doesn't have a good personality. Are we talking about like who do you want to just like make love to, or like who could you see yourself with?
It's sexiest, so I think it's just like an erotic thing.
Okay, then I'll give you a Hulk, especially like newer Hulk. That old Hulk had a very like square face. I wasn't into that.
Eric Bana, Ruffalo Buffalo, or Ed Norton.
It's Ruffalo Buffalo.
See, I go Bixbo. He's got that rugged 1970s sexuality that really works for me.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or Ferrigno.
Yeah, Ferrigno. Well,
you could bounce a dime off Ferrigno. God damn.
Any part of him. He does not like it, but you can do
Quit
it.
Quit throwing dimes at Lou Ferrigno. It confuses him.
I bet that the Grinch post-conversion would be a very giving lover.
Oh, he's got so much to give, you know, and he's a little bit shy because he's never really done this before.
Listen, it ain't his heart wasn't the only thing that grew three sizes.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Also, his hoopiness.
I'm not even sure that was funny.
Let's just say I've got a 39 and a half foot pole that I would touch him with. This is a dumb. Stupid. This is a dumb, dumb, dumb podcast. One of these motherfuckers said Captain Planet. Stop.
He's
Stop.
Blue.
He's blue. You dumb idiot.
He's kind of like an aquamarine. He's like a teal.
Yeah, maybe if you had like a busted old shitty television that couldn't get colors right, idiot. Are there any green women? All these are dudes.
Oh, the green M&M.
Ding dong.
The bit is dead. What times are acceptable for text messaging a friend or family member? This is a good question.
Yeah, it is. I would say it's an important question for this trio of people.
Think of calling someone during traditional sleepy hours. I find myself sending text messages regardless of the time of day or night. No one complains, but wonder if I should restrict my texting to the same hours I restrict my non-emergency phone calls. That's from Terrible Texter in...
That's Minnesota, you stupid dummy.
Minnesota.
What? Okay, let me start off by asking this. What are the approved hours for phone calls? Is it like 9 to 9?
Okay, so I think if you don't know the person before 9 o'clock is okay. I think if it's a family member, before 11 o'clock is okay.
You mean
p.m.?
This is my fault. Yeah. This is my fault. My anger issues towards the two of you, mostly Justin, because Travis, you're way behind us now. I'm in bed at 10:30. I'm in bed at 10:30 because I need 9 hours to be trying to sleep, because I can usually only squeeze about 8 good ones out of it. Out of a 9-hour block, I usually lose an hour to tossing and turning and pee breaks.
And trying to remember words to songs.
Yep.
That's what always gets me.
Justin, when you text me after 11 to tell me that you're really into haunted dolls now.
But Griffin, that couldn't wait till morning. That's information you need to know now in order to complete your night's sleep.
I would have sent it to you another time, but I was drunk then.
Wait, so Griffin, do you not silence your cell phone when you go to bed?
Travis, the...
Okay, hold on. 1 second. I sent that text to you at 12:05 local on a Saturday,
yep,
which is 11:05 p.m. on a Saturday night, mm-hmm, for you. How old are you?
I'm
serious.
I'm 27 years old. That doesn't change what my fucking body wants and what my body needs, which is 9 hours of sleep to get.
11:00 on a Saturday?
I had also been drinking all day, especially hard after my goddamn Packers shit the bed. Put two good turds right there in the bed. Good work, Packers. Good work, Bostic. Great job, Packers. Super Bowl worthy football team. No, it was Sunday, wasn't it? What was I doing Saturday? I have
apparently going to bed before fucking the news, like a pet paw.
I wake up at 7 a.m, regardless of what day it is, and I start working because I'm on that Malcolm Gladwell outlier shit. Trying to get 10,000 hours in of a few activities before I shuffle off this mortal coil. And in order to do that, I get a jump start because that's when my brain is fucking firing on all cylinders. You text me at 11:05. My next day is all about that text.
You also didn't respond to the text until like 1:50 the next day.
Yeah, because I was
unconscious. He needed to take in the information and really mull it over before texting back.
I needed to stop hating you. And it took me 13 hours to get there.
I just fine. So I will also say that Travis is the worst.
Well, I'm Travis, 3 hours behind you guys, and I'm still getting used to the fact that if I text you at 9, it's midnight your time.
Yeah.
But you get incensed also, when we text you when it's 7 o'clock your time.
Well, because that's my time. You know what I mean? Like, that affects me negatively, not the other way around.
Dad is also very bad.
Of all the three of us, Dad doesn't give a fuck.
Dad will text you at 4 o'clock in the morning to ask you if you remember who that guy was on that one episode of Doctor Who.
I could be on stage on inauguration day being sworn in as president, and Dad's like, "Hey, yo, what's up? You watch Arrow?" Like, no, I don't. I never watched Arrow.
He's gotten better because he used to just text like, "Call me ASAP," and then you'd call him and go, "What was that movie?
What happened? Who's dead? Yo, did you watch Arrow?"
He at least not just text the question.
Arrow last night was sick.
Our dad has done morning shifts in radio for like 3 decades, so he it always wakes up at about 4:30. So by like 6:30 a.m., Dad's day is in full swing. For Travis, that's 3:30 in the fucking morning. Yep. For me, it is still 6:30, which is still crazy.
Just like
I look forward to the day when the text message just appears in my dream, and it's just like, "We have to get away from these zombies." Also, who was that guy in Doctor Who? Asks your dad.
I just play it safe after 10 a.m. Pacific time. So after 1 p.m. Eastern time to like 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Those are the texting hours. You get 8.5 hours to get your texts off, so make them fucking count. Because afterwards,
if anybody listening can make iPhone or make apps, make an app that automatically you set the time when it starts and stops. It just like holds all incoming text messages and phone calls until it ends.
I think you're welcome. I think they have that though. I think they have do not disturb times, but it only passes through if they like text 911 or something like that. But I'll still get a 911 text about Arrow.
You've been listening to our comedy advice podcast, my brother and me. We hope you've had a lot of fun here today. I hope you learned something. I hope you grew as a person. A few little housekeeping things. We put our live shows on sale on Friday, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Friday at noon, Central Standard Time. They sold out. Two of the shows have sold out. Our Chicago show has sold out. It sold out in about 6 minutes, so don't feel bad if you didn't get tickets. We are trying to figure out a way to like get some more tickets available because we know there's a lot of people in Chicago that want to come. So we're trying to do something to alleviate that problem for you. But you should keep it tuned to our Twitter and our Facebook. If we do come up with some sort of solution for this
issue, we're being broad.
We're trying to give you as much heads up as possible.
We're being broad because we don't know what it is yet. Yeah. If we had something to announce, I swear we would. It sucks. Like, We're going to figure something out. It's just we don't know what it is yet. So please stay tuned. And I'll say this. If we do something, figure something out before we record again, before we can like announce it on the show, if you bought tickets to one of the shows and we managed to like get extra tickets on sale in Chicago, please, if you already have tickets to another show, please don't buy them. I know that's shitty to ask you not to like support us or whatever, but like the idea of us doing shows this year and trying to do like a bunch of live shows all across the country this year is that like we want to get out and see people that we haven't seen before or that we haven't seen like since 2008 or something. So please, like, that was before we did the podcast, but you know what I mean? Please like just stick to the one, I think.
And that's Griffin's perspective. My perspective is I don't give a shit, man. That money still spends no matter what. Well,
Wiseman Asian. We do want to say thank you to everyone in Chicago. Like, that's a ridiculous.
That's
like,
fucking insane. Support. Yeah.
And seeing everybody go, please, I must see the show. Do something. We are listening and we are trying.
We're trying.
You know. We're trying to do something.
Listen to the other Max Fun shows. We each have, I mean, we have some extra ones. If you like to listen to our dumb voices, Travis has Bunker Buddies, that he does with Andy. Justin has Sawbones, that he does with Sydney. We all do The Adventure Zone with our dad. Episode 5 for that dropped last week. Did we tweet, by the way, that this episode was going to be a day late because of the holiday?
No, I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I hope
so. When it comes up.
No one's complained about it yet, so I'm thinking that they must realize that with it being a holiday here in the U.S.,
Well, there's a lot of really good Max Fun shows to go listen to. There's a new one, Pop Rocket. Mm-hmm. It's a show about all things pop cultural. You can find that on Maximum Fun. It's really funny. I listened to the pilot really episode last week. Yeah, it's really good.
I also I did a guest spot on a non-Max Fun podcast called The K-Ole with Kurt Brownoler, K-O-H-L-E. It's on The Nerdist, and it's a multi-format podcast where sometimes they talk about their pets and sometimes they talk about boats. But on this episode, it was a format called Get Lost, where he blindfolded me and drove me through LA and took me to like a really cool location and interviewed me on the way there. It's coming out the same day that this comes out, so go check that out. I'll post a link to it on Twitter and in the Facebook group.
You like listen to that show and like research it and shit before you agreed to get kidnapped. Right.
Correct. I actually am a really huge fan of the show, and I was really happy to be on it. So if you're looking for a show to listen to, The K-Ole, it's really great.
Is that it?
Send in some questions, please, to for the live shows that we're doing in Los Angeles and San Francisco. If you're going to be at either of those shows, we're doing LA February 6th and San Francisco February 7th. I think they might be both sold out. Are there still tickets available for Sketchfest?
No, they're both sold out.
They're both sold out. Sorry, guys.
First time we'll ever do like back-to-back days of shows, really. So we need a bunch of questions. So just send us all the good questions you can.
If you're going to the LA show, we kind of have to do a change of plans. Justin, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. So we were supposed to have Sawbones opening that show. And Sawbones is, of course, me and my wife, Sydney, but is also in some ways my baby, who we did a little bit of traveling during the Christmas holidays, and she did not do so hot with it. Apparently, babies are really into routine and stuff. So as a result, we're going to have to – Sawbones is going to have to bow out of the shows in L.A. or the show in L.A. So that is – that bums us out heavily, and we are very sorry. But
– that doesn't mean you're going to get less podcasts. Let's see. How can we be vague about this? There will be two podcasts there. Mabim Bam will be one of them. The other podcast, special guest surprise podcast.
Premiere. A world premiere episode.
Well, a live show premiere of a special guest podcast that you will only get to catch if you're in LA.
Yes.
So we're very excited to be partnering up with them. I think it's a relationship that we've been building for a long time. And I think you're
and we're sorry about Sawbones. I know that's hard to swallow, but I think that this new edition is going to be great too. So
We also want to say thanks again to MeUndies for supporting the podcast. Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother and get 20% off your first order. And right now you'll get free shipping. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, thanks again to Blue Apron, who makes cooking at home easy. You can get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/mybrother. Go yummy down. Also, big thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. They won't send you free food or cheap undies, but they will give you good, good tunes.
Oh, before I forget, if you've been wanting to listen to The Adventure Zone, but you don't have iTunes or you can't find it anywhere, we made videos of all 5 episodes so far and put them on our YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/mbmbam and all 5 episodes are there. You can listen to them or share them with friends. We also have like a ton of fun videos there, including like animated shorts that Tyler Crowley did for us, and they're incredible. So go check those out and subscribe to our YouTube. And if you're not already, become a subscriber on iTunes and rate and review and all that stuff. And we appreciate it.
Thank you.
One more question.
Yeah, I thought we'd just like do the thing that we've done 234 times already.
Okay.
This Final Yahoo was sent in by Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. All Drew episode. Been a while. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Brie, Bella, and Nick, who asks, a shared account, they can't be trusted individually with the responsibility of handling their own accounts. There's a dual account. Brie and Nick ask, question about the TV show Small Wonder. Was Vicky a doll with someone doing her voice, or was she a real human?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
She was a haunted doll. Haunted doll watch. It's the best new bit. Oh, my brother, me catch it every Monday. I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been over with my brother, me kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, buddies. I'm Travis McElroy.
And I'm Andy Bolt.
And we're the host of Bunker Buddies.
We're a podcast where we're amateur survivalists and we talk about things like the apocalypse.
And we talk about zombies and preparedness.
What are you going to wear when it's the apocalypse?
And you have no idea if you don't listen to our show. It comes out every Wednesdays on MaximumFun.org and on iTunes. Sometimes we try weird foods, or we talk about where to camp or how to avoid getting eaten or any of these things.
Yeah, so listen to us because it might just save your life.
We'll see you in the bunker.
Bye.